She glanced down at a display. You'll be able to place a message for him to contact you when he arrives at the orbital terminus, implying that he hadn't yet arrived, that he was still somewhere above me, ascending the thread. I think perhaps I'd better just follow him, I said. That way, there'll be the minimum of delay when he reaches orbit. I can just deliver the relevant item and return. I suppose that would make sense, yes. She looked at me, perhaps sensing something in my manner that was not as it should have been, but not trusting her own instinct sufficiently to obstruct my progress. But you'll have to hurry. The next departure's almost ready for boarding. I looked back to the point where the tongue extended out to the thread, seeing an empty elevator slide up from the servicing area. You'd better issue me with a ticket, then. You'll be needing a return, I presume. The woman rubbed at her eyes. That'll be 550 Australs. I opened my wallet and pinched out the money, printed in crisp Southlander bills. Scandalous, I said. The amount of energy it actually costs the Bridge Authority to carry me to orbit, it should be a tenth the price. But I suppose some of that gets skimmed off by the Church of Sky. I'm not saying that doesn't happen, but you shouldn't speak ill of the Church, sir, not here. No, that was what I heard, but you're not one of them, are you?
No,
she said, handing me the change in smaller bills.
I just work here.
The cultists had taken over the bridge a decade or so back, after they had convinced themselves that this place was where Sky had been crucified. They had stormed the place one evening before anyone realized quite what was happening. Houseman's followers claimed to have rigged the whole terminal with booby-trapped canisters, primed with their virus, threatening to discharge them if there was any attempt at an eviction. The virus would carry far enough on the wind to infect half the peninsula, if there was as much of it in the bridge as the cultists said. They might have been bluffing, but no one was prepared to take the risk of the cult forcing itself on millions of bystanders. So they held the bridge, and allowed the Bridge Authority to continue running it, even if it meant that the staff had to be constantly inoculated against any trace contamination. Given the side effects of the antiviral therapy, it obviously wasn't the most popular work on the peninsula, especially as it meant listening to the endless chanting of the cultists. She handed me the ticket. "I hope I make it to orbit in time," I said. "The last elevator only left an hour ago. If your friend was on that one." She paused, and I knew there was no if about it. "The chances are very good that he'll still be in the orbital terminal when you arrive. Let's just hope he's grateful after all this." She almost smiled, then seemed to give up halfway through. It was a lot of effort after all.
"I'm sure he'll be blown away."
I pocketed the ticket, thanked the woman. Miserable as she was, I couldn't help but feel sorry for her having to work here, and then walked back to detailing. He was leaning on the low glass wall that surrounded the connecting tongue, looking down at the cultists. His expression was one of detached, watchful calm. I thought back to the time in the jungle when he had saved my life, during the Hammer Dryad attack. He had worn the same neutral expression then, like a man engaged in a chess match against a completely outclassed opponent. "Well," he mouthed when we were within earshot, "he's already taken an elevator."
"When?"
"About an hour ago. I just bought a ticket for myself. Go and buy one as well, but don't act as if we're traveling together."
"Maybe I shouldn't come with you, bro."
"You'll be safe." I lowered my voice. "There won't be any immigration checkpoints between here and the exit from the orbital terminal. You can ride up and down without getting arrested."
"Easy for you to say, Tanner."
"Yes, but still, I'm telling you it'll be safe." Dieterling shook his head.